Welcome to my Blog Talk Radio show, Live Your Music. I'm Margot Joy Denader, and I'm a creative life balance coach, singer, songwriter, and the author of The Art of Living a Life You Love. My guests for today's show are Joy Osaka Liu and Pamela Nebaker. Joy Osaka Liu is a Soul Path Blueprint coach, an empowered alignment mentor, author and speaker who helps people find the overlooked personal and professional power in their life, business, career, and relationships. Pamela Nebaker is a lover of beauty and a seeker of truth. For more than 30 years, she has served clients as an interior designer, realtor, feng shui practitioner, and personal coach. Join us for a conversation about their chapters on calling and vision in the inspiring new book, Lead, Amazing Women, Lead. Welcome, Joy and Pamela.
Thank you so much.
Oh, I'm so excited to talk to you two about your chapters in this awesome new book.
We're so excited to be here with you. Thank you for your generosity and having us.
No, you're welcome. It was really fun last year when Marsh had me have the eight authors on last year, two per show. And it's a little challenging when there's two guests going back and forth. But it's so much fun, too. I love the energy of it and the fact that the chapters that you're working on, we can talk about them back and forth and how they interact with each other as well. So also it's exciting that Marsh was posting that the book is now a bestseller in several categories on Amazon already, and it just came out last week. So woohoo!
Yes, this is Joy. I think it just indicates that it's such a timely subject to come to the surface and to open up a conversation. So we're so excited to have been involved with this project.
Yeah, it's pretty exciting.
It is. This is Ella and or Pamela. But I decided the second half of my life, I would use the second half of my name. So my friends call me Ella, and you're welcome, too.
I love that, Ella. I think that's really wonderful.
Thank you. I, too, am so honored to be a part of this book. And the energy and the life force that Marsh puts out there in bringing people together. I would never have known Joy except for the book last year. So that was pretty great.
I know. It's been awesome, the people that she brings into her life and then brings into each other's lives. And it's so cool that she's doing, does this, I'm sure, on purpose during Women's History Month and during the time when they have International Women's Day and about people coming together. And I saw a few posts, though, of different people saying that on International Women's Day that they didn't really have any women that they could count on in their lives. These were women talking about that. And I thought, God, how sad is that, to not.
Yeah. That is really sad.
Yeah.
Yeah. And this is Joy. I think that was the intention that Marsh had to create Amazing Woman Nation was to, give us the opportunity to connect with each other and to actually form a very vibrant community. Because, as you know, when women come together, we become unstoppable because of our nature of being supportive and elevating each other. There's no competition or any elements like that. So she was way ahead of her time decades ago when she actually created and stepped into her own vision and her own calling. So we're extremely grateful to be part of that.
Well, I'm grateful to be a part of it in my own ways. And, I've always felt like the idea of competing seems so crazy to me because we all have our own strengths and our own talents and our own interests and our own ways that we can live our music. And so, you know, to me, connection, communication, creation, collaboration, and celebration, those five C's are so important. And that's one of the things that Marsh does with all of the people that she brings into her life and therefore into my show, is she has all that feeling of, excuse me, of connection and communication and creation and collaboration and celebration. So, yeah, let's talk about the chapters that you two wrote. And who wants to go first and tell us about your chapter, what it's about, and a little bit about what's in the chapter?
I think, this is Ella, I think that Joyce should go first, because you receive your calling many times before you create the vision. It can go either direction, but your calling is so important. Okay.
Thanks, Ella. This is Joy. And the chapter that Marsh had invited me to write was around hearing your calling. And in doing so, what I discovered was, in putting down these words that come from a very deep place within your soul, I believe any writer really goes deep and places these words on paper. And what I have found is, in telling a true story about my calling, it really gives us permission for the reader and the audience to sit still and have that moment where they could hear their own calling. And the thing that I find so important these days is for women to really step into and master their mission by hearing their calling. And the way that I see it happening right now is, our world is changing so rapidly right now. And I believe that is because everyone is telling a truer story about themselves and finding their place in the new human story. And so each woman is becoming their own leader. And in doing so, we're actually in the moment weaving a new story for all of humanity while we change the stories that we have in our own lives. And so all of the change, a lot of the divisiveness and polarity that seems to be surfacing right now is actually the fact that women, and actually everybody, is stepping into their own power and changing the paradigm that you had mentioned before, that the C's that relate to competition and things that are no longer relevant and have become outdated. And so my chapter is really around hearing my own calling and how that profoundly changed my life, not just in occupation, but how I saw myself, and that ability to foster space within myself actually hold space for the people around me as well.
Wow. Yeah. Well, you know, one of the things that I love about the idea of your chapter about calling is that that's really, in a way, what Live Your Music means, is to live what you feel called to do. In other words, what your heart's desires are. Music
Yes.
is just a metaphor for living your true heart's desires. And one of the things that I've noticed with doing that is that, especially after now, this is, I think, my seventh year of hosting this show, or going on the seventh year, and that people, when they're living their music, it's not necessarily, in fact, it's usually never one thing. It's not just one thing. It's what makes them happy, what gives them joy. And by you being happy and feeling joy, then you're able to radiate that out to the people around you, and also be someone who encourages them that, hey, I can live my music too. I can listen to my heart. And that's, I think, a really important part about the calling in the calling chapter is that we need to be able to listen to our own heart and our own self. So do you want to talk about that a little bit too, Joy?
Yes, definitely. I believe all of the authors in the book, as well as what you're articulating in your own work, is each of us, when we listen to our calling, we're going to find that it is free of any external definitions, meaning what does a leader look like? What does it mean for me to step into the truth of who I am? And so that elimination of anything external, anything that prohibits, limits, dims what makes you happy, that really lights you up inside in a very inspired way that is consistent, because that is who you are. You're, all of us are born to be creative, and I don't mean artistically, and I love how your show is really a metaphor for somebody actually living their truth and being very artful in that. And I believe this external definitions or any stories that really don't belong to us and have the tendency to make us, quote unquote, make us act a certain way, show up in a certain way, or prohibits us from doing something or not doing something, is really what is being dissolved away so that each of us can actually step into what we're called to do in this lifetime. And I feel that especially Ella, you know, in her chapter about the what it is to have a vision that you act upon, you know, all of our chapters are around removing these external definitions or old stories that are outdated and expired, and and being liberated to actually do what makes us happy in a way that elevates everyone around them. And it does ripple out in a very profound way that is very different from the external definition of leadership that involves domination or manipulation. It is much more inclusive, and it mutually benefits everybody. So it's very grounded and very practical. But I really am overjoyed with all of the authors' voices that were captured in the book, because I believe that all of us, and you too, Margo, are speaking to that and encouraging everyone to do that.
Yeah, I totally agree. And, you know, what you said about leaders and Toastmasters, I've been in it for a long time, as I was telling you earlier, that we started learning a lot about leadership once they changed over to Pathways, which is going to be official, I think, totally by the middle of this year, 2020, instead of the communication and leadership manuals. And the coolest thing that I found about it, because at first I didn't like it, and a lot of the people that had been in it a while didn't like it, but they're weaving in leadership skills in with the communication skills in this new way. And I talked about it a little bit last time, but I think it's important again here to talk about, is that what I realized when I was thinking about leaders is that the ones that inspire me the most are loving, kind, and creative, all three. And that's the way I see all of you that are writing in this book, is you're all loving, you're all kind, and you're all creative. And you're right, Joy, everybody is creative. Nobody is not creative. It's just, and we create with our thoughts, with our words, with what we do, what we say. I mean, we create in every way that there is. And it doesn't have to be painting paintings or writing books or something that's the traditional way of thinking of creativity. But creativity is just part of who we are. And,
absolutely. And, you know, I mentioned to you before, before we came on live, and this applies to you and to Ella and everyone who's listening and all the authors and Marsh, and that really is your power really lies in being present with your presence. There is such an immense energy that comes from somebody who knows who they are, their original essence or the truth of who they are, or their, what their soul's calling is, if you want to use those words.
Mm-hmm.
And it comes so naturally, and it is inclusive. And Ella is a beautiful example of this in her life, her entire story, in her chapter, in her presence, just like you are, Margot. You have this incredible ability just through your presence and your intention to hold this really beautiful space for people to come together and just have a conversation. And that is what's missing, or that's something that we need more in the world, and that is truthful, honest, compassionate, tender conversations with each other. And in that simple act itself is probably one of the most clear and current examples of what leadership is, you know, standing in your own power and your own truth and articulating that in your unique creative way.
Yeah. And also, like you were saying, the compassionate and caring about people. And, you know, I totally agree with everything you said, and I really feel honored about what you said about my presence and the present, but all, your presence and Ella's presence also are like that. Marsh and all of the other authors that I've talked to are like that. And I'd like to talk to Ella a little bit about her chapter on vision, because you're right. I mean, the calling in a way does tend to come before that, but the vision is so important too. And I'd like you to talk about that a little bit, Ella.
Sure. Thanks for the kind words. I just, before I answer that, I wanted to bring up that I concur, the world is changing. The falsehoods, the pretense, many of those things are beginning to fall away. We're living a much more honest life
mm-hmm.
now going into this new millennium. And I'm so grateful for that. I'm so grateful to have lived through the kind of that darkness of the 80s and 90s and 2000s that was very much based on money and fame. We had the reality TV shows, which we're starting to see fall away a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And people are starting to realize that they can be who they are. They can be ordinary people and live extraordinary lives.
Right.
And it's like they're waking up. And you don't have to be famous and rich, but you can contribute and make a difference in people's lives everywhere you go, every day.
So true.
So,
yeah.
I just wanted to add that in there with what y'all were talking about before.
Mm-hmm.
Vision is an interesting thing, and authors and songwriters have been hinting at it for quite a while. One of my favorites is The Wizard of Oz, when Dorothy mm-hmm. finds out that she's had the power all along. And that's kind of where I think all of us are now. We've found that power and that authenticity and the beauty that's all around us and inside of us. And we've learned how to live in that in order to serve better, in order to love better, in order to create a more full and rewarding life for ourselves, our families, our communities, our country, our world, you know, because
mm-hmm.
we're not living just in our own little place anymore. We have become a global society, and
mm-hmm.
we are becoming a global society. And everything that one person does, it affects everyone else, just like the butterfly who
mm-hmm.
flaps their wings. That can be felt all the way around the world.
I know. I love that story about the butterflies, about how that happens. And the whole idea about that and the ripple effect both give me chills. And I'm thinking about right now about Joy's internet. Her website is oneripple.net. It's like so
right.
cool that it's right there in her website as well.
It's perfect, just perfect. And what she does, I got to tell you, her parents knew right what they were doing, even if they didn't know what they were doing, because she is pure joy.
Aww.
She really is. And she spreads that joy everywhere she goes. And we can all be like that. When we find our calling, our deep down answers that come from our hearts, then we work to visualize those things. Now, I have one thing that I've been doing for a very long time, and mm-hmm. it includes meditation. But I get a lot of people say, well, I can't sit down that long. I can't focus. I have too many things to do. And visualizing and meditation can be the same thing. And the one thing that I want to share is that I have a special place, and we all do if we think back on it. My special place came when I was 10 years old, and I would go to the forest up in Washington State, back in the days when kids could go to the forest.
Uh-huh.
And I learned so many life lessons of the cycle of life, of how everything enriches everything else, how out of the burnt ashes of a tree, life comes again. And it is renewed and recycled. So that's
so
my
true.
Special place, is to go into that forest. And now I go in my mind, you know, mm-hmm. to that same place when I was a little girl. And that's where I visualize the things that I want to do and create in this world. So you mm-hmm. don't have to actually go to a place. You can have that special place in your mind. I know my daughters, when they were getting ready to have their babies, there is some meditations that I gave them that were on CDs, and they have them create that special place while they're in, you know, so that they can go there while they're in labor. And
oh,
they
I like
can
that.
Meditate, and they can then go through the birthing process, which is what we're doing when we're manifesting too. So if everything has that physical element of the world, but it also is a spiritual part of the world. And
so
oftentimes
true.
those things marry, and we manifest our vision.
That is so true. And, you know, I loved what you said about the forest. I remember reading that in your chapter, which I have to say, in case I didn't already say it because I've been thinking it, is I loved both of your chapters. I really do.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, I really got a lot out of both of them. And I also grew up in Shasta County up in Northern California, and we had this Shasta Forest all around the property that my family had. And so I used to go out on my horse and ride my horse out in the woods. And so I totally could relate when you were talking about the idea of the forest. And a lot of times that special place for me is that's where my mom was and where, to me, her spirit still is, really, you know. And
mm-hmm.
yeah, it's just a good place. It's a place where you can feel like you're really safe and comfortable and relaxed, and then start picturing what things that you would like to bring into the world and how you can use your calling to create a vision that will not only help you live a better life, but help the people around you live a better life as well.
Exactly.
Yeah, and you know, we were talking also about callings, and it reminded me of the fact that the three biggest things I felt called to do really were be a mom, write a book, and sing. And I have one son; he's 30 now, and that's been just such an amazing journey, and still is, and he brings us so much joy. And writing my book was that way. It took me a long time because I just wrote a little bit every day while I was being his mom and working full time and all of that. And then singing now with my husband during the last, I don't know how many years now it's been. I didn't even used to think that I could sing. And then I started watching the two of them singing together and while our son was in high school and decided to try taking singing lessons in 2007 and have been singing with my husband every month now at West Coast Songwriters since 2014. And, you know, those are things that I've always wanted to do. And I think that all three were really scary too. And a lot of times I think that you really, really want to do in your heart are scary. And I think that's why it's really helpful to have someone like one of you or another coach or somebody who you can talk to who's safe that is not going to be telling you all the reasons why it's impractical or why you can't do it, but can help you realize that whether you ever even make money doing it or not, the joy that you feel radiates out to everyone else, like you were saying, Joy, like a ripple, you know, that goes out.
Yes. And, you know,
everybody.
This is joy. Mm-hmm. You know, this is joy. Margo, what you described in writing a book, having a child, and singing, these are perfect examples of how your calling and your vision are meant to be very much on the ground, very practical, in the real world, expressed through your body. And it's this perfect alchemy of your intellectual capabilities of planning and juggling all that stuff and
mm-hmm.
merging it with the spiritual, formless part of yourself that has been such a gift to so many people. And the thing with our visions and our calling, we may not even know we have on the people around us or in passing, but I can assure you specifically, and I can assure the folks listening to your show, that you have a very important place in this world. Just like you, Margo, and everything you've done in your life, it's extraordinarily important, and it's so important for people to stand strong in their vision because it's meant to be, it's meant to make you stand out because that's really what the world needs. And you touched upon why so many people maybe don't step into it. And
mm-hmm.
and there's a little bit of fear and a little bit of uncertainty about what that looks like. And it is really important to have a community or to have at least one trusted person that can place their hand on your back and walk with you, not
mm-hmm.
telling you what to do, but just that their presence again being enough to encourage you, because it's very uncertain, it can be very scary, and I write about that in my chapter of stepping into uncontested waters that are not charted by other people's signposts can be really unsettling and can feel very daunting. So having other people around who are going to be there to encourage you and just let you know whatever your path is, whatever your calling and your vision is, it's highly valuable. It's needed, and we need you to keep going. Just like everything that you articulated in your story, having a son who I'm sure in his own way is changing the narrative of what achievement is, what success is, your book, and the deep, resonant, heartfelt words on that are so
mm-hmm.
needed in this world. And then your voice and your singing with your husband, what a beautiful gift to give to your audiences. And it's the same with Ella and her work and me with my work and anyone who's listening on this call, as well as the other authors. It's extraordinary. And it's meant to be expressed. You wouldn't be alive otherwise. And so if there's a little bit of hesitancy or a little bit of fear and it feels scary, then find somebody or pull somebody into your field who can walk with you and encourage you and let you know that you are you really matter, and you're meant to stand out and to keep going.
And to be like Julia Cameron talked about in The Artist's Way, about being believing mm-hmm. mirrors and catcher's mitts for each other as well. You know?
Yes.
Exactly. This is Ella. And
okay.
I just want to say that last year our book was Rise, Amazing Woman, Rise. And many of us authors and then women everywhere began to feel that rise in their hearts and to fulfill their dreams, their visions, and their purpose. And then our job, if you want to call it that, is mm-hmm. to turn around and lift other women so that they might do exactly the same thing.
That's where it comes into lead, amazing woman, lead.
Yes. As
beautiful.
We lead, we lift.
What?
As we lead, we lift.
Oh, yes, as we lead, we lift. I like that. Wow. So who wants to answer this question? Who is a woman role model that's influenced your life a lot?
Well, this is Joy. I would say that's a big question to answer, and I would love to give acknowledgement and gratitude to everyone who has come before me and overcome a lot of challenges, and by their way of leading their life and lifting others, as Ella has said, it has made it possible for me to stand in the space that I now stand in and live in and express my joy, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
But there is one woman, Wanda Nguyen, who embodied her vision, and because she listened to her calling to make it possible for all of us to live an artful life, even if they may not consider themselves creative in the traditional sense. And
mm-hmm.
she did so. Wanda Nguyen owns a luxury stationery store here in the Los Angeles area. And I had not met her in the 20 years that I had visited her store, but her ability to articulate her calling through her vision, through these beautifully curated items, really allowed me to be empowered to dream that I might be able to live my life of dreams. So I had never met her until last year, but just her presence, her
mm-hmm.
ability to stand out for what she stands for, which is her art of letterpress that's deeply connected to the earth,
mm-hmm.
her sophisticated, simple style. It's not something that I mimic, but it was something that was so inspiring to me that just opened up the space for me to dream and take little steps towards what I'm doing now. And I feel that all of us, again, have that capability to become that role model. And in fact, I would go even farther to say that
mm-hmm.
each of us is a role model for somebody, even if we don't know who that other person is. So to be proud, and pride in this case is simply the unfettered belief in yourself and what you're here to do, and being lit up about that. And as Ella has shared as well, this the quote-unquote job to share that by showing up 100% and being sovereign in your space, meaning there are no other unwanted stories that are taking up your radiance and your message, and being that role model for other people.
I love that. Ella, what for
yes.
you, who, maybe it's not just one person, but I mean, you're a mom. So for example, and you've got, what is it, 8 kids, 5 grandchildren.
Yes.
So, I mean, my mom, for example, was living her music by being a mom, and she was just such an amazing role model of what it's like to be loving, kind, and creative. And so I'm sure that you have done that with all of your children as well. And so who though, was a role model for you?
I was surrounded by many lovely women who lifted me up in ways, who served me, because I was a single mom for a really long time. When my oldest was 8 and my youngest was 5 months, was divorced and I had to make it on my own. And there were so many lovely, sweet, ordinary women who made my life extraordinary. And it could be the simplest of things of just talking to me, you know,
mm-hmm.
just talking about things. Because when you're a single parent, you kind of have your kids and you have your work, and
right.
you don't really have time for friends, you know. But these women, and they were usually older,
mm-hmm.
back then, you know, 30 to 40. And they were 50, in their 50s, but they served in ways that were quiet, small, sometimes anonymous. And those are the people that I look up to. And of course, we all have those famous people too, you know, like Oprah who made a huge impact on so many people's lives.
Mm-hmm.
And she gets a lot of credit and she deserves it.
Mm-hmm.
But I saw these women in my neighborhood that they deserve it too. They lived their lives in such a great way, such a great example to me, to be a better mother, to be a better member of my community, and to lift others. That's the main thing. They showed me how to lift.
Oh, I love that. You know, we're almost running out of time. We've only got about 8 minutes left. I can't believe how fast the time goes. And there's so many more things that we could talk about. But, you know, Maya Angelou, speaking of Oprah, I remember Maya Angelou had told Oprah that your legacy is every life you touch. And
mm-hmm.
I love that quote because it reminds us, all of us, that it's not that we have to get out there and do something huge. It's that we need to pay attention, like you were saying, Joy, with your presence, how you can make a difference and how you can be a role model and how you can have a vision and listen to your calling, and you can make a difference in the lives of the people who are in your circle of influence. And then that circle of influence can grow, and it can create a ripple that goes out throughout the world where we have more people who are loving and kind and creative and supportive of each other as well.
Yes.
Yes.
I would like each of you to think of, since we only have 7 minutes left, something that you'd like to leave our listeners with. And who wants to go first?
This is Joy. Yeah, Ella, go first.
Okay. I thought, okay, I'll step up. So I would love to leave with women everywhere the knowledge that the seeds of truth, your truth, they lie within your heart, nobody else's. The answers are there, and they've always been there.
Wow. I love that.
And the way to find those, for me, was asking God to open my eyes that I might see through his or hers, whatever
mm-hmm.
your higher power is. And that's been the truth for me.
Aw. Joy, what do you have to say?
I would love everyone to know that together we are weaving a new story for humanity while we change the stories we hold in our heart and soul. And to know that instead of pulling this endlessly of other people's stories, to use that string to weave a new, truer one for yourself that allows you to step in and stand out in what you're here to do.
That is beautiful. Excuse me, that is beautiful. I really like that a lot. Oh my gosh. I am so glad that Marsh got you guys together and, well, women together to write this book. But, you know, I have to say, there's one thing, though, that I have to say is I think, personally, excuse me, that men would benefit also by reading this book and the other books. And so, you know, at some point, I'd love to see men joining in the whole movement a lot more than they have been, and being able to bring out their creativity and their love and their kindness as well.
Absolutely. You know, this is Joy. I would agree with that 110%. I feel that everything that each of the authors has written in this book is applicable to every human being. Whether their gender, their age, their world citizenship as far as ancestry, any of those external definitions, because I believe that all of us have spoken very deep human truths that apply to everyone. And everything that each author has written is something that perhaps many men haven't thought of first. You know, they are very good with planning and execution and execution of strategies and all of that. But there is a part of us called a soul, and I believe all of us have one.
I do too.
Could be incorporated in this new way of leadership, a new way of hearing their calling, of being inspired, of stepping into their vision, of finding their voice, all of the chapters that were written. And so I concur with you 100% on that, Margo.
Well, you know, if you have the real book lying around the house and men could pick it up anyway and read some of it, or they can buy it on Kindle if they don't want to be seen holding a book that says Lead Amazing Women Lead, they could read it on their Kindle. So,
exactly.
That's one of the nice things about Kindle is that nobody knows what you're reading unless they're right over your shoulder, you know.
That's true.
Well, I love both versions. I have both. I have the Kindle version and the real book version. And because I've always loved books, when it's a book that I really love, nonfiction, basically, book that I really love, I like to have both versions of it. And ultimately, the audio version as well, which could be really cool.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Well, let's see. We've got 2 minutes left. And I think one of the things that you were talking about, Ella, that I think was really cool was the idea of grabbing magazines. And I like that idea of grabbing magazines and pulling out words and pictures and things that just make your heart sing. And I think that's something that people could start doing is grab a stack of magazines and catalogs and things like that and start carrying them out. And you said put them in a manila envelope and then, you know, start spreading them out and looking at what those things are. And I think that doing that can also help people with their calling as well.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yes.
And
sure.
And it's important to do it when right before you go to bed, when you're kind of sleepy, because then the conscious mind shuts down a little bit and allows the subconscious or the unconscious mind to be drawn to those things.
Yeah, kind of like edge of consciousness thing. Yeah.
So and that true. Really aligns with, you know, my belief, this is Joy, around the truth of who you are is always speaking to you in magazine images or in every relationship, in every conversation that you have. So it's what Ella has written about is a beautiful suggestion to help people guide them towards that.
Oh, I agree. Well, thank you so much for being on the show and for writing your chapters in the book. And I hope everyone listening will share this, the replay of the show, with their friends and family and get the book and read it and share the book and give it as a gift as well. It's a great thing to give as a gift. And it's a gift to the world. So thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for the time and for your presence and for the show. We are so deeply grateful to you. Thank you.
Yes,
oh, you're
absolutely, Margo. Same goes here. It was just a pleasure to be with you.
Oh, thank you. Well, bye for now, everybody. Get out there and live your music. Talk to you later. Bye.